is with us, gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by your mercy and love.
Higher than you.
no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. There is no one higher than you.
Thankful that there's nothing too difficult for our God to fix. I fixed a lot of junk that I broke or messed up in my life, but there were some things only God could fix, and He's able. Peter wrote to the church at one point in 1 Peter and said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have given unto us lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a season, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptations." I didn't know why I was going to read this morning, but now I do, after what Pastor preached, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom through now you see him not, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'm thankful I've lived long enough to see God bring me through a lot of junk and my wife through a lot of stuff. And Brother Wells has reminded me a couple times when he saw me going through some stuff, that loyalty is proven in the midst of adversity. Your faithfulness and my faithfulness will be tried, have been tried, and will be tried in the future, but God's faithful. Let's love him this morning in church.
You may be seated if you'd like.
Name it is the name of Jesus. beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. The sin was great, your love was greater.
Hallelujah. Don't you love his name? Would you speak his name, Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we call on your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I love your name. There is power in your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is healing in your name. Hallelujah.
Forever I'm changed.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How can you lift your hands? Can you lift your voice? Oh, let us come giving a sacrifice of praise. Fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto your name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a wonderful God. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to remind you, next Sunday is our Christmas for Christ service during our 11 a.m. session. We have Sunday school as usual from 10 to about 10:45, 10:50, and then 11 a.m. we will start our Christmas for Christ celebration. Please remember your envelopes and bring that maybe wrapped in a little gift bag or in a little gift box, and we'll have a manger down front. We can put that in, and as we often do in our Christmas for Christ service, families come and groups come and gather around the manger, give your gift, and take a time of prayer. And so we encourage you to come, be a part of that. Great time we'll have together in the presence of the Lord. Remember, no PM activity next Sunday night. However, tonight at 6 o'clock, I encourage you to come. Something that I kind of introduced or maybe gave a little infomercial concerning. It is a DVD presentation called The Star of Bethlehem. And what it is, it's basically a lawyer who got somewhat obsessed with studying about the Star of Bethlehem. And so, though he's not an astronomer by any means, and he tells you that, what he does is he uses astrological evidence and biblical evidence to give great understanding in relation to the Star of Bethlehem, how it was not a figment. It was not just something that, people, detractors would say, well, it was just, something we put up at Christmas time, but it actually happened and when it happened, and he gives you dates, and it's a pretty amazing thing. He makes one pretty bold assertion and verifies it via his evidence, and if you're here tonight, he talks about how the first Christmas, now, we think of the first Christmas, we think of Jesus coming in the manger and all that as being the Christmas story. But what he talks about being the first Christmas is when the wise men came and brought gifts to the child, the Bible says, and he shows via astrological evidence, if you will, that day was December 25th. Pretty cool. And so if you're interested in all and you want to know more about the Star of Bethlehem and all that, and he uses the Bible, I think there's 9 different points that the Bible brings out in reference to the Star of Bethlehem, and he hits on them all and shows you evidence of them all, and it's a pretty phenomenal thing. I can't believe I haven't heard of it before. It was actually developed back in 2007. The producers of The Passion of the Christ produced it, and so it's very well done. It's a very good presentation, so I encourage you to come tonight at 6 o'clock. We will start off with our group prayer, family prayer, but then we will go into the DVD presentation. So maybe a little bit longer than normal, may run about 8:15, 8:20, but please, I assure you, if you come, you will not be disappointed at what is presented here tonight. Also, we have the Bible reading charts for adults and children. They're at the back. They're available for you to take and use, and as we often do, we will acknowledge the first Sunday of every month, those that are keeping up with their Bible reading, and I'll tell you this, even as an adult, if you at least do the children's, we'll still give you bread. We'll make mini muffins. Kidding. But Bible reading enriches any day. That's the bread program. And so we encourage you to take one of those and begin. Get a head start. If you're worried about failing, say, well, every time I start, I don't make it through and I miss a month. Well, get started now. And you already have a head start. And, you can already be well upon your way to reading through the Bible. And so we encourage you to do that. And then 2 weeks from today is the 30th, December the 30th. We are having regular scheduled services on Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we are going to have a special service. We are calling it the Yes Service. Year in service. I came up with that. No applause, please. All on my own. The year in service is the last service of the year, and so it is on a Sunday night, and we want you to come and be a part of that. And so we're just kind of putting that out there to let you know that is going on. I want to say a sincere thank you to Brother and Sister Grimm for hosting the Christmas caroling and then the party, the little refreshments afterwards. Thank you guys so much. We had a wonderful time, just a good time of fellowship together, and just enjoyed being with one another and spreading a little holiday cheer, if you will. Other announcements for you via Breeze and the announcement scrolling on the screen, I think, behind me. But why don't you stand to your feet? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 40. Read about 9 verses of Scripture, a little more lengthy than I normally read in introduction, but then I will go back through and we'll try to make some sense of some of this and then hopefully minister unto you. Isaiah chapter number 40, when you're there, can you say amen? Begin reading in verse number 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and cast the silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that it shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judgment of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Draw your attention back to verse number 26. Lift up your eyes on high. The verse before it says, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes. Look into the heavens. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might, that he is strong in power, not one faileth. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Lift your eyes on high. Lift your eyes on high. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We love you. God, we're so thankful for the power of your presence in this place this morning. God, we pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we'd be challenged, Lord, that we'd be instructed in your word. God, that revelation and understanding would come, Lord, that we would all understand, Lord, to change our perspective, to look upon you, to set our affection upon things above, God, to truly be wise men and women and look into the heavens, God, to allow your spirit to lead and guide us, to give us direction that we have need of. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Lift up your eyes on high. The prophet Isaiah here in this passage is acknowledging the absurdity of man as he foolishly and futilely attempts to find something representative of God. He says this, to whom then, in verse number 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? He goes on to say that in their vain attempts, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver change. Even he that is so impoverished that he has no oblation, he has no gold, he has no precious metal, even him, even the poor one will choose a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman and to prepare a graven image that it shall not move. In other words, humanity makes graven image from precious metals. And even the poor will find wood that is resistant to rot to somehow in an attempt to make an image representative of God. They want to try to make something that they can look to, something that they can gaze upon, something that kind of in some ways gives an adequate representation of God. But then the prophet somewhat rhetorically asks, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Don't you know nothing upon this earth is even close to adequate in making a comparison? Do you not understand that no matter how people who are listening online or via CD, hope they didn't stop and eject the CD or stop it online. We're back. The prophet is saying, have you not heard? Do you not understand? Put together this precious metal. You even choose a tree, wood that will not rot because you want to make something that's adequate in comparison. You want some kind of representative of God. Don't you understand how futile that is? Do you understand how inadequate anything that you could find and put together upon this earth would be in even making a similar representation? How will you liken those things? How will you make any kind of comparison? Do you not understand it's he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth? And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judgments of the earth as vanity. It goes on to say, in relation to the people of the earth, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them. Fragility of a dandelion. Blows upon the princes and the judges of the earth. And they're so weak. Frail in comparison to him, no matter how much might they may think they have, no matter how much ruling power and dominion they may think they have, they're nothing to God. He blows upon them, and as a dandelion drifts into the wind, so they are blown away. They shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. How shall you make a comparison? The prophet then says, to whom then will you liken me, speaking for God, saying, or shall I be equal? How are you going to make a comparison? Saith the Holy One. If you want to find something representative of me, if you want to gaze upon something that might be able to even have the slightest semblance of me, if you want to cast your eyes upon something that would kind of in some way be representative of the expanse of my power, of my order, if you want to see something with your natural eye that can somehow, some way, give a representation of who I am and how I work, then lift up your eyes on high. Look into the heavens. Look into the stars that I have stretched out, and I call them all by their name. Look into the heavens that I have stretched out as a curtain. If you want to find something that barely scratches the surface of who I am, then lift your eyes up unto the heavens. Lift your eyes on high. You want to see something that can be likened unto me, if you want to gaze upon something that can be likened unto God, the Holy One, well then lift up your eyes on high. The
reason why this is so important, the reason why this is a challenge, if you will, to us even to this day, is because so much of what we concentrate on is so centered upon earthly things. We are so easily enamored with the concerns and the cares of this life. We are so often focused upon the right here and the right now, about the daily living, about what we got to do today and what's coming tomorrow. We so focus upon the temporal, and we so put our focus upon the natural, that we often fail to lift up our eyes on high. We often fail to consider the heavens, the works of His fingers, the sun and the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Like in the parable of the sower that Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, often the seed of the Spirit, often the word of God falls among thorns. For they are they which when you have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Bring no fruit to perfection. We're often choked out by the cares and concerns of this life. We often keep our focus and our perception upon things that pertain to us and the natural life. And, you know, we got to live, get that. We got to provide. We got to do things on a daily basis. But we become so enamored with that. We become so consumed with being centered upon this life, the things and the cares and the concerns and the pleasures, that the good seed is often choked. It brings forth no fruit to perfection. It stymies our growth. It keeps us from really pursuing those things that we should pursue. It keeps us concentrating on stuff that really has no eternal significance in the grand scheme of things. And we fail to lift up our eyes on high. We fail to really consider those things God has made for us, that God has placed in our universe, that show and reveal, even in a small way, how great and how wonderful He is. Luke chapter 13, there is a story of a woman. The Bible says she has an infirmity, where for 18 years she could not lift herself up. Same scene every day for 18 years. Dirty feet, trash in the road. Same, bent over, looking down, infirmity, the Bible says, that she had in her life. And I know for this lady it was a natural infirmity, but I think for us many times it's a spiritual infirmity, that we're all the time looking down. We're all the time looking at what we're dealing with and what we're walking through and what's going on in our lives. And we're all the time looking down at the problems and the situations and the afflictions and the things I'm going through. And I notice all of the trash, and I notice all the things that are going on in this world and society. And I see all the sin, and I see everything. And it's just so discouraging, Pastor. And it's just so distressing. And I just wonder, what is this all for? And I just become grieved in my spirit. My heart fails and I start to lose hope. Where hers was a natural infirmity, for us, it's a spiritual infirmity, where we're looking down. We can't see the silver lining on any cloud because we can't look up. We're just always focused down. Well, I'm always feeling down, Pastor, and I'm always just suffering with this, and I'm always dealing with this. Well, let me tell you, there is healing for you. There is something that God can give that will cause you to lift up. The Bible says He laid His hands upon her, and she stood up and glorified God. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people with this infirmity. Can in no wise lift themselves up. The perspective is usually down. They're often negative. They can't seem to find the good in anything. Oh, I'm preaching now. It's Christians, as believers, we're supposed to rejoice and we're supposed to be full of joy and all. And I'm going through this and I'm dealing with this. And I'm sorry if you think I'm piggybacking upon the first lesson. But listen, we need to understand, yes, we're going through things. And yes, we're dealing with things. And yes, we're in trouble. And yes, we've got persecutions. And yes, we've got issues. But can we but for a moment learn to lift our eyes up on high, to stop putting all of our focus upon the here and now, and lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. These type of people, they praise the problem. They only see the situation surrounding them, and then they wonder why they are always down. Depressed, looking, feeling down. It's an infirmity from which we need to be delivered. It's something that we need to understand. As long as I keep bent over, looking at all the bad stuff and focusing upon the here and now and keeping my thoughts and my affections upon earthly things, guess what? It's going to be hard for me to be lifted up. It's going to be difficult for me to lift my voice and lift my hands. We're not alone in this. Psalms 40 tells us that David found himself in a similar state. In the words of David, Psalm 40 and 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Pastor, it's hard. I can't look up. I can't lift my eyes on high. My heart is failing. My hope is going. Listen, you need to know it is not God's will that we focus upon the problem. It is not God's will that we become enamored with the evil and the things that surround us and start thinking, well, they're insurmountable. The odds are against me and I just can't do it. It's not God's will that we stay spiritually bent over looking at all the stuff that would seek to cause us to lose hope and for our hearts to fail. It's not God's will that you and I stay enamored with all that stuff. It is God's will that we lift up our eyes on high. Somehow, some way, I've got to shift my gaze. I've got to somehow change my perspective. I've got to somehow, the help and power of God, I've got to somehow lift up my eyes. Quit focusing upon this stuff. I can't look at things like the rest of the world. Can't. I can't have their same outlook. I know. I see it every day. You do too. People that it seems like all that they're focused upon is this life. The next possession. The next material thing. The next promotion. The next rung on the ladder. It's like that's all the thing they're worried about. The next achievement. The next success. And I think to myself, there is so much more to live for. There's so much more, but as long as you stayed looking down, as long as you're just so enamored with this earth and earthly things, listen, you can't, there's nothing to compare with His glory here. There's nothing that really scratches the surface of who He is and how He can work in your life. All this stuff that you're striving for and all this stuff that you're pushing towards and all this stuff that you want to acquire and achieve in your life, it pales in comparison to what He has available unto you. Lift up your eyes on high. I would to God that our government would understand they are not going to fix the situation with the laws. They're not going to fix the situation with their politics. They're not going to fix the situation with their peace one toward another. The only way they're going to fix the situation is to lift their eyes up on high and get some peace with God. Not going to change it. Dealing with stuff here below, it's going to have to change with a heavenly perspective. That's why we've been praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. first thing you need to do, and it just hit me in preparing for this, and I wish I would have touched on it in our teaching. The first thing we need to do is lift up our eyes on high. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Get your focus off this life. Set your affection upon things above, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Lift up your eyes on high. See, here's the thing. When we fail to do this on a consistent, continual basis, what happens is this world and its trappings easily trip us up. Happens. Each and every one of us stumble, fall. I walk in relationship with God as a series of stumbles and then get back to our feet and stand strong. And I realize that's a part of our humanity. That's a part of who we are. What amazes me, we often try to navigate things in the Spirit. We often try to follow. We lean upon our own understanding. And then we wonder why we trip up, and we wonder why we fall, and we wonder why we make mistakes. And I realize it's a part of our humanity. But even in the natural, think about this. Even in the natural, we are becoming accustomed to looking on high. Stay with me. When's the last time you pulled out a Rand McNally map? Say that too fast. It sounds like you're taking a nap. When's the last time that you were going to go somewhere and you decided that you would just get a map out, find all the directions and all the roads? Maybe you have. Maybe you're still old school. But I'm not. First thing I do is pick up my phone and tap Google Maps. You know what I'm doing? When that happens, I'm interacting with GPS, Global Positioning Satellites. I'm interacting with the heavens, catch this, and it's giving me direction. When's the last time you broke open an Encyclopedia Britannica? Well, they still look good on the shelf, Pastor. No. Do? Google it. YouTube it. You want to know how to fix something? You used to have to call somebody who knew how to do it. Now you can just connect with the Wi-Fi. What would our lives be without? Man, we go without power and we don't have Wi-Fi or cellular service. We don't know what to do with ourselves. A board game? What's that? Interacting with one another? What's that? My wife and I went to, thank you, Sister Rose, for taking the kids, by the way, on Friday night, having a good time with children. It was also a time for me to take my wife out. We went to Outback, and we're sitting there, and we're waiting to get a table, and we look over the table beside us, and a couple, man and woman, sitting across from each other, eating dinner. Both of them had their iPads out on the table. I'm just saying this. In the natural, we're becoming accustomed to getting direction and getting information by what's operating in the heavens. But what the sad part is, while that's happening more and more in the natural, it's happening less and less in the spiritual. We're not truly getting our direction as we should from God. We're not truly looking to Him for our provision. We're okay with providing for ourselves. We're okay. And I get it. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of the privileged culture that we live in. It's a part of the suffering that we don't endure, but we should. And a lot of the reason why we don't lift up our eyes on high is because we don't have to. We think. What God wants us to understand, if you really want direction in your life, and you truly want to know the decisions that need to be made, and you truly want spiritual guidance, you've got to lift your eyes up on high. You've got to interact with the heavens. You've got to understand that there is divine direction available to each and every one of you, but you're not going to find it in your self-help books. You're not going to find it in your curriculum. Where you're going to find it is in a walking relationship with Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes on high. Now, here's the thing. I'm not talking about astrology. I'm not talking about looking up your horoscope. Find out what you should do, what matches your personality. I'm not talking about fortune telling. I'm not talking about that mystical stuff. What I'm talking about is not getting your message from the stars. I'm talking about getting your message from the maker of the stars. I'm talking about communicating with the one who calls them all by name. I'm talking about talking to the one who has stretched out the heavens as a curtain. I'm talking about the one who knows all, who is all powerful, and who is everywhere present. I'm talking about lifting up your eyes on high and recognizing that my help comes from the Lord. What I need to give us this day, our daily bread. What is it that I need today, God? Help me understand what it is. Here's where it really comes down to it. What we set our affection on, what we truly choose to interact with, is a choice. And it's a choice I can't make for you. You have to make for you. You can't make it for me. I got to make it for me. I've got to choose to set my affection upon things above. I've got to choose to lift up my eyes on high. I've got to choose to interact with the heavens. I've got to choose to get my direction from the divine. He will not force me to do so. I must choose to do so. Have to choose. So, well, but Pastor, we go through all this stuff and deal with all this. Yeah, all the more reason why we have to lift up our eyes. All the more reason why we can't be focused on the here and now. You look at Acts chapter 7, you'll find a man by the name of Stephen. And as he began to preach unto them and tell them about Jesus Christ, the Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. Translation, everything I've looked at, said they bit him. Got so angry, they walk up to him and bite him. I've never made anybody that mad at me. Probably wanted to, but he's preaching, man. They just start biting on him. And then they pick up stones and begin to stone him. Nobody would have blamed Stephen for looking down and watching the sand as it's stained with his own blood. Nobody would have faulted Stephen for looking around at those that were hitting on him and beating on him and saying, stop! Don't do this! Nobody would have faulted him for keeping a perspective upon what was happening right then. This is what Stephen did. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven. Biting on him, he's hitting the stones. He's not focusing upon the blood that's staining the ground. He's not focusing upon his accusers and those that are hit. He's not worried about who's hit him or who hasn't. Steadfastly. Saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Looking up. Luke 21, Jesus foretells of end time events and says that men's heart will be failing for fear. But listen to what he says in verse number 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They're focused on everything that's going on. They're focusing. I'm going to tell you what, when the end time happens, when God begins to wrap this thing up, it's not going to be just something like a minor thing. The Bible says men's heart will be failing them for fear. Shock and total disbelief. But they're looking, the Bible says, on the things which are happening upon the earth. They're focusing upon all that's going on, the calamity. And I don't know what all is going to happen. But what the Bible tells me, it doesn't sound like it's going to be pretty. Jesus says men's heart failing them because of fear. As they're looking upon the things upon the earth. Their focus is here. They're worried, oh, what's going to happen? The stock market's crashed and I've lost my retirement. What's going to happen? And they're telling us there's food shortages. What's going to happen? Oh, I wish I'd have buried that bunker in my backyard and put bags of beans. Now, we laugh and we chuckle. Doomsday preppers who spent the time and resources and they, you know, Armageddon is near. The end is coming. Worried, stockpiling, putting, listen, if you want to do those things, that's fine. But I'm not looking for my redemption here upon the earth. This is what Jesus tells them. And when these things come to pass, go buy more beans. Build a bigger bunker. Make sure you got corn because gold won't be good anymore. No. When these things come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. Lift up your eyes on high. Change your perspective. Listen, I want to practice looking up right here and right now. I don't want to wait till it all begins to fall apart. I want to be doing it right now. Getting my direction from the skies, from my God and Savior. Making sure we've got open communication where He can give me direction and let me know what I need to do. In closing, you can stand to your feet. The scribes missed it. The Pharisees, the rulers of the Jews, those astute in the law and the prophets, they had all the knowledge. They had all the info. They had the multiple prophecies concerning the Messiah. They missed it. They had Isaiah in his writings. They knew. They knew what Micah said in relation to where he was going to be born. They had all the information. They had the knowledge. They missed it. They weren't aware. But you know who didn't miss it? Call them magi. The Bible calls them wise men from the east. It's a little precursor to what you're going to learn a little bit more tonight. But the major school of thought in relation to these magi is that they came from Babylon. They came from the school which was established by the great prophet Daniel. For why would these magi, why would these men from the east know anything about the birth of a king of the Jews? Why would they go out of their way and cause themselves so much inconvenience to gather together? Now, I know we say there's three of them because there were three gifts that were presented. We don't know how many there were. The Bible doesn't say. But what we do know is this is what they said. Matthew 2 verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And here's what they said. saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Come to worship him." All the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers of the synagogue, they had all the information and they had all the knowledge. Evidently, these magi had some information of their own. Evidently, they had some of Daniel's prophecies, and evidently, they were able to understand that something significant was happening when they lifted up their eyes on high and they saw something new in the sky. They got together and said, "Hey, something special's going on. Let's go back, let's study, let's look, let's find out." Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When all the elders and the rulers and the scribes and the Pharisees were all consumed with what was going on in their world and under Roman rule and worrying about how they were going to be delivered and what was going to happen with them and the future of their nation, and they're so enamored with things going on in the earth and all the situation that surrounded them, there were some magi over in the east that were looking up into the heavens, and they said, "Oh, you see that? That's special. It means something. Let's look." I want to be a wise man. I don't want to have all the knowledge and all the information and be raised in this and have this a part of my being yet miss it, because I'm not looking and I'm not lifting my eyes up on high. Lord, let me understand my pedigree is not going to be what gets me through. All the knowledge and understanding is not going to be what gets me through. What's going to help me is if I learn to keep my perspective and my affection upon things above, and I lift up my eyes on high. I want to be a wise man. I want to notice. I want to see what God is doing. I want to lift up my eyes on high. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Come to worship. I believe it was the gifts, the gold, the frankincense and myrrh, those things that were presented to Joseph and Mary at the house, the Bible says, where the young child was, which lets us know he was a toddler, if you will. So there was some period of time in between. I know it reads good and it looks good for the wise men to be at the nativity, but that's not the way the Bible represents it. What we need to understand, and what I believe, is that they came to give and to worship Jesus, but what they also did as they financed the expedition into Egypt. Because right after their visitation, Joseph gets an angelic visitation. And the angel tells him, "Hey, take the woman and the child and flee into Egypt. There's one who seeks his life." Know how Joseph was able to go into Egypt? You don't want to know how he had the finances to be able to take his wife Mary and their little baby Jesus, and how they were able to take him into Egypt, because he had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You want to know how he had gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Because there were some wise men who lifted up their eyes on high and said, "Hey, there's something happening in the heavens. Let us go and worship him." These altars are open. There's some people that want to say, "Lord, help me to lift up my eyes on high. Help me, Lord, not to always have an earthly perspective. Help me to rip my focus away from this life and all its cares and its concerns. And let me place my focus upon you, God. You care for us. You know what I have need of." I lift up my eyes. I look on high. I get my direction from the heavens.
There's a lifting of the eyes beyond the hills
to where,
our help comes from.
I don't know what to do.
There's a lifting of
I'm at a crossroad, Pastor. I don't know what choices to make. Let me give you some guidance. Let me give you some direction. Lift up your eyes on high. Find your answer in prayer.
There's a lifting of the
eyes. Get on your knees. Lift your hands and your head toward heaven and say, Jesus, I need you. God, I need your direction.
There's a lifting of the hands.
Pastor, sometimes I find my heart's failing me because of all these situations. Sometimes I find myself losing hope. I wonder how I'm going to hang on. I wonder how it's all going to work out. Let me give you some guidance and some direction. Lift up your eyes on high.
Beyond the hills to where our help comes from.
Let's not just have all the knowledge and all the instruction. Let's lift up our eyes on high. God, give us guidance. God, help us to see the relevance in all that we learn and all that we know.
To where our help comes from.
To read the word. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to interact with the word of God. But you need to lift your eyes on high to help it all make sense. You need to lift your eyes up unto the heavens for him to help you understand what thus saith the word of God.
Beyond the hills to where our help comes from.
I lift up my hands. I lift up my eyes.
We lift up our hearts. Our help comes from you. We lift up our eyes to where our help comes from. There's a lifting. We lift up our hands. We lift up our hearts, there's a lifting. We lift up our eyes to where our help comes from. We will lift up our hands. We will lift up our hearts.
Lifting of my eyes on high. No more. more focused. It's oriented towards you. You'll better lead me. I'll make better decisions. I learn how to lift my eyes on high. I will be wiser. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need manna from on high. I need nourishment and spirit. You know what it is I'm going to face. You know what situations will surround my life. Lord, I don't want to focus upon those. I don't want to focus upon the problem. I want to focus upon the giver of provision. I want to focus upon you. That you give us this day our daily bread. Forgive me, Lord, for focusing upon things of this life, becoming so concerned with the cares and pleasures and riches herein. Forgive me. My debts, God, as I forgive my debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Help me to lift up my eyes. Wonderful. How marvelous. I've told this before, but in recent years, one of the most amazing experiences I had. Fam and I went to the Creation Museum. There in their planetarium, they have this presentation called God of the Cosmos. Sat there, planetarium screen that was a dome, began to show all these images of the universe, galaxies, began to expand. My mind was blown. All the stuff that's out there, billions, trillions, innumerable stars, galaxies that contain billions of stars. As far as they can see, it's further. Knowledge they have is just minute in comparison to what actually is. And they readily admit there's so much out there. Vast expanses of the universe that boggle the human mind. And I sat there with mouth open. He's that kind of God. Lord, help me lift up my eyes on high. Know all these things. You'll hear about it tonight during the presentation, but I believe it's called Kepler's Law in 1600. Came up with the order of the planets and the stars and how it's like clockwork. Even NASA today, when they send something into space, they check their equations and their calculations according to Kepler's law to make sure everything's like it should be. And God spoke all of this into existence.
Right.
He telleth the number of the stars and he calleth them all by their name. What is my little problem?
Right.
What is my little situation in comparison?
Yes.
What is it, whatever I'm dealing with, why focus upon it? There's so much
right.
more. So, Lord, we lift our hands in the waning moments of this service. Help us to lift our eyes on high. Get our focus upon this earth and our little situation and our problems. And turn our eyes upon you. Look full in your wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light. light of your glory, grace. Can we sing it?
Turn your eyes on me.
Lift up your eyes on high.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Struggling in his suffering, he's trying to see the significance of what he's going through and dealing with. Yeah, he focuses upon trials and the tribulations that surround his life, but when God speaks to Job from the whirlwind, he begins asking questions. Some of the questions that God asked Job sound like this. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? He's talking about constellations. He's talking about the stars. Can thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? The obvious answer is, Job, you cannot. But I can. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the encouragement and the assurance we have as we lift up our eyes on high and know that you still have the whole world in your hands, and we applaud you, we praise you for it, God. Your majesty. We worship you. Go with us from this day. Help us to lift our eyes upon high. In your precious name we pray. God bless you being in service this morning. You may go. In the precious name of Jesus.